Our first case for argument this morning is 21-1124, Blackberry v. Hirschfield. Mr. Glass, please proceed.
Thank you. May it please the Court, James Glass for Appellant Blackberry Limited. Your Honors, in the IPR below, the Board made several key errors, primarily related to the language in Claim 1, specifically the displaying phrase and the notifications term, as well as errors in the failure to consider arguments on motivation to combine. I'm going to start with the claim construction issues, and specifically the phrase displaying a new incoming message. With respect to that phrase, the Board incorrectly determined that it was sufficiently broad to encompass Dallas' disclosure. Dallas is the prior art reference, the primary prior art reference, specifically to include disclosure in Dallas that requires user intervention. In relevant part, this phrase requires, in the context of a silenced message, displaying the new incoming electronic message in an inbox together with any message thread not flagged as silenced. Now, the Board specifically found this phrase was rendered obvious by functionality in Dallas called ignore. And there's no dispute between the parties as to what this ignore functionality does. It collapses messages. As they're received, they're automatically hidden and collapsed into a single heading, and that heading alone is displayed. In fact, and I believe this was cited in the intervener's brief, Dallas expressly states the point of this ignore function is to stop seeing new documents in a particular thread. So at the outset, there's a fundamental disconnect between Dallas's disclosure and the ignore feature that's claimed of the ignore feature and the claimed displaying step. The claims require displaying, the ignore feature stops displaying. Petitioners below recognize this issue and focused on additional functionality in Dallas that allowed the user to expand a thread after it was processed, after it was received, and after it was hidden to display messages in the inbox. The issue then is whether the scope of the displaying phrase includes this functionality. Now, the Board below focused on the claim breadth of the claim, specifically focusing on the fact that this was a comprising claim. And as such, it was open-ended and specifically, according to the Board, expressly allowed for user intervention. Now, while the Board was, of course, correct that comprising claims are open-ended, it erred in giving the claim such breadth that it read out specific terms of the claims. Specifically, the Board erred in determining that the scope of this phrase encompassed a user expanding a message thread after activating Dallas's ignore feature. This overbreadth read out the word incoming from the phrase new incoming message. The term incoming is a simple term. It's not one that has a special meaning. It's an ordinary meaning. It simply means at the time of receipt. It's a message that's in the process of coming in. It's clear from the entire thrust of the claimed invention that incoming messages are displayed at the time of receipt. For example, the display, the very limitation we're discussing now, also requires, in addition to displaying, that while displaying a new incoming message, that further receipt notifications are silenced. Receipt notifications, there's no dispute, occur at the time of receipt. Displaying while silencing must therefore also take place at the time of receipt. Our proposed interpretation of this phrase is entirely consistent with the thrust of the invention and the claims. It's also consistent with how the patentees described the invention during prosecution. We've mentioned this in our briefs. I'm not going to walk through the entire quote, but the patentee, in connection with this phrase, specifically said that this displaying step allowed the user to conveniently see messages at a glance. If the user then had to go in and expand that message thread, it would no longer be convenient. And again, we're not saying that was an express disclaimer. We're not saying that that disclaimed coverage. We're saying that's consistent with our interpretation of that phrase. Intervenor's interpretation, however, is entirely inconsistent with the intrinsic evidence. Intervenor argues that in the world of email, an incoming message can only be made sense when juxtaposed against an outgoing message. According to the intervenor, there is no temporal component to an incoming message. An incoming message is still incoming as long as it's not an outgoing message, as long as it's unread. Intervenor embraces the notion that a message that is not read for minutes, seconds, presumably a decade, is still an incoming message so long as it is not an outgoing message and as long as it's not read. Taking that to its extreme, if you deleted a message, if it was an unread message, according to Intervenor, it's still an incoming message. That simply doesn't make sense from either the plain English language of the claims, referring to an incoming message, displaying messages while silencing further notifications. It's also inconsistent with the thrust of the invention and the citation to the specification that we've laid out.
What if it said display the received electronic message in an inbox? Would that be different?
It is different because received connotes that it's been received at some point in the past. And I think I believe that's what Intervenor was getting at when they said that as long as it's received, it still could be new. Our point is that it's in the process of being received. It's at the time of receipt. The system itself processes the message. So the short answer to your question is I think there is a difference.
This claim is about an instantaneous moment?
It's about creating an inbox that's more convenient for the user. And the way this does it is in a very specific way. Right? So Dallas does it by, I believe it talks about shutting off the fire hose.
No, I'm just trying to understand what you think your claim is referring to. You're talking about, I guess, a processor that's configured to do something at a very instantaneous moment in time?
It acts on the messages as they're coming in. And the point
so
is...
I'm sorry. I just need a yes or no. You're telling me that your claim is defining something that occurs at a particular instantaneous moment in time. That's what you're arguing, right?
Correct. That instantaneous moment in time is at the time of receipt, correct.
So you have to, at that very moment it arrives, now you have to look at what's happening to the display.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's not just your inbox and looking at the messages that are in the inbox.
So if I understand the question correctly, Your Honor, the claim is it receives the message.
I mean, in one sense, inbox, I see a list of incoming messages, all the received incoming messages.
Correct. And you see in this particular invention, the way it allows you to manage that inbox is by displaying silence threads together with non-silence threads in a different manner and silences the notifications for those silence threads.
Right. But none of that has anything to do with what happens at that instantaneous moment when a given message arrives. It's more about an organization and display of a whole collection of messages that are two categories, one that is silence, one that is non-silence.
I understand the question, Your Honor, and the point is that by allowing the user to intervene, that would be contrary to the organizational structure set out in the claims, that you have this convenient thing that the user can at a glance look at and see his or her silence messages and unsilenced messages and not be bothered by notifications. So the temporal component, I think, is plain from the face of the claims. It's also consistent with the purpose of the invention, allowing you to still see these messages side by side without being bothered by the notifications. Pause for a second. Have I answered Your Honor's question?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unless there are any other questions, Your Honors, on the displaying, I'm going to move on the time I have left to the notification issue. The board initially agreed with our position that our proposed construction for notification was captured the ordinary meaning as supported by the examples in the specification, and specifically, we argue that the notification, in addition to being some form of visual, auditory, physical cue, it must be some form of auditory or physical cue that draws the attention to an incoming message that would not have otherwise been noticed. At institution, the board initially agreed with us that captured the ordinary meaning. We again stated in our surreply that our position was ordinary meaning. This was consistent with how the district court agreed with us that our construction captured the ordinary meaning. By the time of the final written decision, however, the board had recast our construction. The board found that we had not provided the citation source specifications. We had not provided sufficient proof that the specification defined or gave a special meaning to this term, that there was no unique meaning.
What if hypothetically I had my inbox open on my monitor and it's filling up the entire screen, and then a message comes in, a new message, and when I look at, I'm staring at my monitor, I can see my inbox right there, and I can see the new entry, it's flashing in red. So I'm seeing it. Mm-hmm. And then in the bottom corner of the monitor, there's a separate pop-up window that says, new messages come in from Chief Judge Moore. I've already noticed the arrival of that message in my inbox. So that pop-up window isn't some kind of cue that tells me about an incoming message that I wouldn't have otherwise noticed. So in that circumstance, does that pop-up window satisfy your construction of notification?
It does. And
but I already knew about it before the pop-up window showed up.
Yes, and that is, Your Honor, you hit exactly on the point that we were trying to make below. That it is irrelevant if our construction does not require a subjective inquiry into the user's state of mind, whether the user was actually bothered.
Well, I don't know what it means then when you say the construction has to have the limitation that the email wouldn't have otherwise have been noticed.
It has to be of the form that would not have otherwise been noticed. This was our attempt to capture
I don't understand. You've just added a new word to the proposed construction.
Our proposed construction is some form of visual, auditory, or physical cue to draw the attention to an incoming message that would not have otherwise been noticed. Our point was that by saying some form of visual, etc., notification that would otherwise have been noticed, that captures the examples and the statements in the specification of what is a notification, the pop-ups, the auditory alerts, the physical vibrations. Those are the type of notifications this patent is concerned with, not whether something is a blue text or a bold font. That's actually exactly what the specification states is not a notification. That's how you indicate a silenced message. So this is our point is that this is, and the board below said, well, this patent's not about notifications, it's about silencing notifications. It's about silencing specific types of notifications. Those are the form, the type, the category that would be the type that you would not have otherwise have noticed. And there's more than sufficient.
So getting back to my hypothetical, what's wrong with when I've got my inbox open, and then the new message arrives, and I see an entry in my inbox, and that entry is flashing in red? Why wouldn't that be a notification?
Because that is not of the form that's something that you would not have otherwise been noticed. That's not of the type.
Why not? If it had just slid into my inbox, looking like all the other messages, I easily could not have noticed it. But now it's coming in big and flashing in red. Mm-hmm. So now it's yanking my attention over to that portion of the display.
I understand the question, Your Honor. And again, the purpose of our construction is to capture the types, the forms of notifications that are laid out in the specification. The pop-ups, the types that are not, that they're not part of the inbox, they're not part of the message. They're types of messages that are of the form that could direct your attention if you are not looking at the inbox itself. And this gets into our discussion and the parties briefed this extensively.
So it has to be a note of when you're, it's telling you, it's notifying you about something when you're not looking at the inbox.
Correct. That's what you're, like a pop-up, flashing lights, pop-up, auditory, vibrating. It's the type of thing that you don't have to be looking at the inbox. It's the type, form, or example of a notification that would draw your attention.
Counsel, you've used all your time and almost all your rebuttal time. Would you like to save some?
One last point, Your Honor, just very quickly on the motivation to combine. We argued you could not combine LeBlanc and Dallas. We argued that rose to the level of a teaching away. The board disagreed with us. The board below, however, ignored one of our arguments. We also argued in line with the Polaris case that even if it doesn't rise to the level of teaching away, it still is relevant to the motivation to combine. That argument was not only not considered by the board in any respect, it was also not even mentioned by intervener. On that count, the motivation on the motivation to combine, that the board erred.
All right. Let's hear from the PTO, Ms. Lateef.
Thank you, Your Honors.
May it please the court. Thank you, Your Honors. Based on the intrinsic evidence in this case, the board properly construed the claim term notification to mean some form of visual, auditory, or physical cue to draw attention to an incoming message at the time of its receipt. And whether you look at the board's construction or BlackBerry's construction, the board properly determined that substantial evidence found that these claims are unpatentable, as obvious in view of Dallas, or alternatively, in view of Dallas and LeBlanc. With respect to counsel's claims about the displaying limitation, Dallas teaches this limitation even though it requires user intervention. There's nothing in the claims that prevents a user from expanding the silence thread in Dallas. And there's nothing in the intrinsic evidence or in the spec that says that this is not something that can occur. This idea that there is no, that it has to be instantaneous is just not supported anywhere in the claims or in the specification. With respect to this idea about notification and whether or not under the board's construction it was proper, there is no support in the intrinsic evidence for this disputed language that would otherwise not have been noticed. There's nothing, there's no definition of notification in the spec, and there are examples in the spec of things like visual cues as pop-ups, but it also says that notifications can be in one or more of a variety of ways. And having this idea that there should be some sort of notification that otherwise would not be noticed is highly subjective, and all that a notification is a feature of the software. This is a communication system. The notification is whatever the software deems it to be to alert someone, I'm sorry, alert a user that there's a new message. So there's no support, no reason to include this disputed language that BlackBerry is arguing.
Counsel, when you say notification is a feature of the software and that this is a communication system, why doesn't that same logic apply to the display limitation?
And just so I'm clear, as is, when you say why doesn't it apply to the display limitation, do you mean why?
Does it apply to the display limitation? Is the display limitation a feature of software in this communication system as claimed?
Well, even if it is, Your Honor, yes, I do believe that it is, Your Honor, but I don't think that that cuts against the argument that a user couldn't also just click. This idea of instantaneous, it's still going to be displayed. If a user expands...
It's not going to be displayed absent user intervention. In Dallas, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So the system itself isn't doing it. The user is causing it to happen.
So it's the way Dallas works is you have these, they call them ignored threads, and they have a not symbol over them. It's not as if the message isn't in there. It's just that a user cannot visualize it. It's still in the inbox. It's still displayed there, but you have to see it. You have to click Control Plus to, as a user, be able to look at it and see it sitting next to a non-ignored thread.
When you say it's still displayed there, I thought displaying the new incoming electronic message meant displaying the message. I didn't think the board found or that you were arguing that it's displayed by virtue of the fact that it's in the silenced portion. I thought you were arguing and the board found that it was displayed by virtue of the user clicking on it.
That is correct. What I was, maybe I wasn't as articulate as I wanted to be. What I was trying to say is that this idea, if we're going with the idea that it's a feature of the system, it is still, that message still comes in, but if you want to actually, as a user, see it displayed there in the inbox, yes, you will have to, under Dallas, click Control Plus to actually see it physically shown in addition.
And how do you have a communication system which is displaying the new incoming electronic message? I mean, is the person now physically part of the system?
No, but the claims aren't written such that you can't have human intervention. There's nothing in the claims or the specification to say that that can't be done. The way the claim is written, as long as it gets displayed, there it is. It's the new incoming message with the silence thread along with...
I guess the idea must be when the user clicks on the mouse, there are instructions loaded into the communication system that programs it to display the incoming message?
Under Dallas, yes. It's still being displayed, and that system is allowed, that's the way that that particular system allows it to be displayed. And while BlackBerry's system may be different, it's not written such that it must be, and it's not, there's nothing in the specification to say that it can't be run in the exact same way that Dallas is run.
Well, I mean, doesn't the specification disclose examples, all of which show the message in the inbox so that it is, in fact, displayed as opposed to hidden in
Dallas? Yes, but it doesn't say you can't have user intervention. And if you look at Dallas, Dallas has figures as well that show the messages being displayed that way. It just explains that you also, in order to get there, you have to have user intervention. So what I was saying is that there's nothing in the spec that says user intervention is prohibited. And at the end of the day, they both disclose, I'm sorry, Dallas discloses a situation where the inbox has both messages displayed just like the claimed invention does. And with respect to this idea that the board did not properly articulate a motivation to combine, that's actually not accurate. I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. So when the petitioner... filed this petition, it articulated a motivation to combine. BlackBerry came back and said, nope, this teaches away. There's no motivation to combine here. The board responded to those teaching away arguments, as well as talked about the fact that LeBlanc is kind of like a substitution. If there's no notification, it was an alternative reference. If there was no notification found in Dallas, you did have LeBlanc, which has sort of the same types of notifications, pop-ups, lights, vibrations. And so the board said we were not persuaded by BlackBerry's arguments, and we find that there is a motivation to combine here. It didn't ignore anything and not make a finding. This isn't like Magnum Oil. This isn't a case where there's some sort of due process issue or there wasn't notice. They responded by saying there's a teaching away, and the board simply wasn't persuaded and found that there actually was a motivation to combine.
Can I ask you to go back to the questions I had before?
Sure.
The claim says the non-transitory media readable by the data processor comprising coded program instructions adapted to cause the processor to display the new incoming electronic message. If the code has to be written in such a way to cause the processor to display the new incoming message, is it really fair to suggest that that is true in a situation where the user has to intervene in order for that to happen?
Yes, Your Honor. What the board found was the code still allows for that when the user hits the Control Plus button. And that's still requiring the
I guess system. I think there's a difference between adapted to cause and a system capable of. And, you know, adapted to cause, that language seems to suggest that the processor and the code is supposed to cause these things to happen. To cause. The claim says to cause these things to happen. I don't know. What the board said was,
sort of in response to your explanation here, was that the Dallas does cause that to happen by allowing a user to expand its thread. Yes, these threads are automatically collapsed, but we have a way for our system to display this information together. And the way that we do that is by having this function that a user can initiate. And so that is how Dallas causes that to happen in its system. Is it identical? It is not. This is an obviousness claim, and there's nothing in the claim preventing user intervention. And so if the court doesn't have any further questions, I just want to remind the court that if it agrees with the parties, with the board's claim construction, it doesn't need to reach the issues about whether or not Dallas teaches notifications or not. And even if it doesn't agree with the board's claim construction, Dallas does teach notifications, and there's also LeBlanc, which teaches such notifications.
Where did the board articulate its motivation to combine in its decision?
So the board was responding to the petitioner's motivation to combine and saying that it was persuaded by it and not persuaded by BlackBerry. So on page APPX 34, under that Part C conclusion on the independent claims, it says if you go three lines down, the combination is supported with sufficient motivations to combine, and that patent owner's arguments to the contrary are not persuasive. But then also, just a little bit before, on page APPX 32, it talks about how, sort of at that paragraph right before displaying, you go about 5 lines down, talks about how petitioners relying on LeBlanc solely for the substitution of the different types of notification. Again, saying you can sort of put this in here. It's just being used as a substitution. And those are the two places where I would point this court to talk about where the motivation to combine was supported. Because the BlackBerry never really attacked what the petitioner said about motivation, and I would just direct this court, if it wanted to look at that, to APPX 278. That's the petitioner's rationale for motivation to combine that the board was responding to. And because BlackBerry didn't sort of attack that in particular, but just said, no, these wouldn't be combined because you're teaching away, that's when the board said, well, we disagree with that, talked about teaching away and why it disagreed, and then just said there was sufficient motivations on APPX 34. And if there are no further questions.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Lateef. Mr. Glass, I'll give you 2 minutes of rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just two actually very quick points. Intervener said there's nothing in the claims that preclude user intervention. I said this in my opening. The claim, the very same display limitation, requires that while the silence messages are being displayed, new incoming messages are displayed while silencing further notifications. There is no way the user can intervene while further notifications are being displayed. I'm sorry, while further notifications are being silenced to go in and display the notifications. This plainly contemplates the processor, the system, displaying the messages while silencing further notifications. So the intervener said there's nothing in the claims. It's right in the very same claim limitation. On the issue of notifications, intervener relies and the board relied exclusively on one line in the specification that the notifications could occur one or more of a variety of ways. Look at that line contextually. They take that as the doorway to open up this patent to any type of notification. Right after that sentence, there's about a half-column description of the very same notifications that I walked through in my opening. The patent is clearly talking about one or more type of a variety of notifications that are listed in the patent. So they're saying we're not going to limit ourselves to these specific examples, but it's the type of notifications. On the point of motivation to combine, Your Honor, I don't, hearing intervener's discussion, I don't think there's any dispute here. The board did not articulate a motivation to combine. It simply agreed with the, it agreed with the petitioner, and there was no articulation of where the board considered our teaching away argument in the context of it being just relevant to a motivation to combine. Okay. And I see that I'm over, so I'll stop there, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Glass. I thank both counsel. The case is taken under submission.
Thank you, Your Honors.